Well, thank you for joining us here at Ascend Church. We thank you that you're here to give our God praise this morning. We encourage you this morning to clap your hands and lift up a shout of praise to the Most High God. Come on, let's do it right now. Somebody say hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Listen, as we sing this next song, it's called Shelter In. It's such a beautiful song. It's one of our favorites right now. And I just want to read Psalm 91, because this song was written by Rich and Dawn Cherie Wilkerson and her brother, and they got it out of Psalm 91. And let me read Psalm 91 to you. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night." Say, "I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you." Say, "It shall not come near me. Only with your eyes you shall look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. I will honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Hallelujah.
Present. Jesus. We worship you in this place, Father. Have your way. Holy Spirit, come. Fill this room with your glory, God. Fill this room. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Send revival into this room. In us. You help me, you lead me. across this room. Now is not the time to waste. Lift up your hands before the King. Worship Him in this room. Give Him honor and give Him glory. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Baptize me.
I need revival.
Purify me.
I need revival.
Baptize me.
I need revival.
Purify me.
I need revival.
Jesus, without you,
for as you bring yourselves into my presence, says the Lord, the atmosphere begins to be charged with the electricity of my spirit. But it takes you stepping into my presence for you to begin to feel my spirit, says the Lord. For there is a charge that is flowing through this atmosphere here today. There is a charge, and it is a spiritual charge. And you begin to sense it as you surrender to me. As you surrender to me, says the Lord, there is a spiritual strength that begins to infuse you. There's a faith that begins to rise in your heart. There is hope where there was doubt. There is faith where there was fear, because you're choosing to plug into the spiritual charge that is in this room, says the Lord. And the spiritual charge is merely my presence. But if I could get my children to step into my presence, I would be able to do whatever it is that they need doing, says the Lord. So if you are wondering why there are things that are not taking place, maybe it's because you need to step into my presence, says the Lord. step into my presence, says the Lord. Bow your knee before me, and you will see that I can do what you cannot do on your own. Because there are those of you standing in this place right now that you have sickness invading your body. And do you not know that the power of the Lord is present to heal you? Jesus said it. He said, the power of the Lord is present to heal. And so if you will plug in, says the Lord, you will get what it is that I have. If you plug in, there is power to heal right now. So if you say, that's me, just lift your hands right in this place and say, Father, I just grab a hold of everything you have and everything you are, and I receive that in my body right now in Jesus' name. And I just, right now, I just speak to every sickness and disease in this place. I command you to go. Get out of here. Get out of these lives. The power of the Lord is present to heal. There are some that are battling with tormenting thoughts. You have tormenting thoughts of fear. You have anxieties that attack you in the midnight hour. You have fear over your children. You have fear over your finances. You have fear over your business and over your future. And the Lord says that if you will plug in to what I have for you, you will sense a new surge of hope go through your heart. You will sense hope come in one side and fear go right out the other side. If you will plug in, says the Lord. Right now, if that's you, if you are suffering tormenting thoughts over any, whether it's rational or irrational, whether you think you've got something to fear or whether you, it's an irrational thought, right now just say, Lord, I take hold of faith, I take hold of hope, and I command fear to go. I command anxiety to go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank the Lord for His presence. Father, we thank You for Your presence. You know, I love a lot of things about church. I love this building. I love You as people. I like the sound of this music. But there's nothing like getting into the presence of God, because that will change you for eternity. That'll change you. That'll make you a different person. It'll make you a different person. Take the time. Take the time to get beyond your mind and your body and your thoughts and your what you can and cannot do, and get into the Spirit, and you'll touch something. You'll touch hold of something that'll change your life in every way possible. Every way possible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Lord, for your presence that fills this place. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Won't you turn, greet someone, tell them we're glad you're in church today. House of the Lord. Amen. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you've joined us. To our Ascend Church members, to people that are just people that have moved away that we haven't seen in a long time, but you still watch, and people that are watching for the first time, welcome. We're glad you're taking part in our service today. And I want to welcome everyone that's visiting us. Anyone visiting us for the first time today, we like to always honor if somebody's here for the first time. We'd like to just give you a visitor pack. Is anybody visiting us for the first time today? Not you. Maybe the last time for a while, but anybody. God bless you. Come on, let's welcome him. So glad you're with us today. So glad you're with us today. That's awesome. We've got a visitor pack that we'll hand you. There's a couple of things in there. There's a guest card. We ask you to take a moment and fill that out. At the end of the service, we pass the offering bucket by, drop it in, and come and say hi to us after the service. We would appreciate that. Amen. Everybody had a good week? We had all of our grandkids for like 16 days. So on Friday, they left on Thursday night. So on Friday, we just sat in silence. Like we were like, it was just like, it is so quiet. And I must tell you, it was really nice too. We loved having them there, but man, they're noisy. Everybody talks all the time at the same time. So it's so good. But anyway, so we had a good quiet day this week, but I'm glad to be in church. I know we're carrying on our series. It's going to be so awesome. But I just wanted to say to those that are watching, there's various ways you can watch us. You may be watching on Facebook Live. Go ahead and tell us where you're watching from. Comment as you are listening to the message. Don't let anything distract you. Just stay focused. And you can also watch on YouTube. And that's great because you can watch after the fact. You can share it. You can watch on our app. You can watch on our website, ascendchurch.us. So there's various ways to watch it. And you know, what I always do is if I find something feeds me in a service, there's only so much you can really concentrate on. We've got notes too, which really help. But go and listen to it again. Listen to it again. Just put it on while you're in the car. Let the word just keep ministering to you, you know? Oh, the notes are also on our app as well. That's great. It's good to know, right? So we can do that. I just want to remind you of the four main purposes. Let me just say to you that we're going to pass the clipboard by. Won't you just sign in? Let us know that you're here. Like I said last week, I heard someone say this. We don't count people because of numbers, but because people count. And Jesus always left the 99 to go after the one that wasn't there. You know, if you've got 100 people, it's easy to miss that one's not there, right? So please just sign in on that register. It really helps Pastor Steve to minister to everybody. He's very diligent about that. And so thanks for doing that. I want to remind you of the four main purposes of our church. The first one is to help people to know God. Second of all, to find freedom in every area. Thirdly, to discover your purpose. And lastly, to make a difference with your life. So that's our main purposes in our church, including our children's ministry. Let me tell you, the kids are getting ministered to. It's not a babysitting service. They're getting taught the word, taught to love the Lord. It's really part of our service. Here he comes. If you ever want to know what I missed, you'll find out.
No.
What did I miss?
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to see you. No, just our gift bag. We've been continually trying to improve our guest bag. And I want to thank everyone who invited a guest to come to church today. They may not have come, but you invited someone. Wave at me. Wait.
Wow,
you invited. You attempted to invite someone. Well done.
And people don't always come the first time or the second time.
Think about Tony back there. He was invited. He was invited 12 times to come to church.
By Janice.
And eventually, after 12 times, he came. And he's been here ever since.
Yeah, but he's invited countless.
He's invited so many people. So thank you for inviting someone to come to church. In our gift bag, if you are a first-time guest, we have the card, welcome card, where it tells you how to find our resources. We've got videos that you can watch online. And you can find that all in here. And what did we just add? We just added a fridge magnet. We put a fridge magnet in here. Somewhere in here. Here it is. Fridge magnet says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. www.ascendchurch.us. We're hoping people put that in that fridge. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's a Bible in here. And There's a Bible reading card and the guest card. We ask you to fill that out. Even some breath mints. This is for first-time guests, okay? Don't be taking this bag if you're not a first-time guest. We save them. Well, welcome today. So glad you are here. Those who are here in person, all those who are watching online, we're so glad that you have joined us. And so glad you're watching online. It's a blessing to be able to watch online. Like I was talking to some folks this week, they said we're going to be out of town. We're going to be in New York, but we'll be watching online. And that's Nick and Blake. And so I'm glad you are watching online. And, you know, it's great to be able to do that. But can I tell you that it is much better to actually be here in person? The difference between being here in person and watching online is quite a big difference. So thank God for technology and thank God for being able to watch the service when you're out of town. But I really want to encourage you, man. There's something about being here in the presence of God, gathering in the gathering of the saints. There's something that happens in the gathering of the saints that doesn't happen any other place. So I really want to encourage you to come and get back in church today. The kids, the schools go back next week, right? So I'm declaring it's the end of vacation time. It's time to get back in church. Get your butt back in church. Start bringing people. Amen. Let me tell you, if there's ever a time then that for us, the church, to shine, it's right now. If there's ever a time when the world are in fear and don't know what to do, this is a time for us to rise up and let the light that is within us shine and be the body of Christ. Be the hands of Jesus. Be the voice of Jesus. And be ministering and bringing hope to people and bringing them with us to church. I mean, this is the time right now. If there's ever a time to win people to the Lord and bring hope, it's right now. This is the hour. Amen. Praise God. Oh, Father, we thank you today that you are so good. We thank you for Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you today that you will minister to each one. I thank you for bringing revelation of your word to our heart. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for making yourself real to people today. And I thank you, Lord, today that we will be changed from glory to glory. And we give you all the honor for everything that will be said and done in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say amen. Thank you to our worship team. Did a great job, as they always do, playing some Rolling Stones there. If you didn't pick that up, what is that? Miss You, I Miss You. And I was just, I like the Rolling Stones. My pastor, Pastor Theo, he's a big Rolling Stones. He tells me when he was 16 years old, he used to go to the record store and go listen to the first Rolling Stones album on the headphones. You'd go into the record store, and because you couldn't afford to buy the record, and he'd go and listen to it. And he's been a fan. Of course, he got saved, and Pastor Theo's on fire for the Lord. But one day he was in Heathrow Airport. He has happened to be in the first class lounge, and there sitting was Mick Jagger. And so he said he went up to him, and his manager stopped him. But Mick Jagger said, "No, let him come on." And so Pastor Theo started talking to Mick Jagger and telling him, you know, just about music and the songs and how long he'd been a fan and blah, 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 blah. And everything was going great until Pastor Theo said to him, "Mick, I've got to tell you, Jesus loves you." And when he said that, Mick Jagger just looked down on his computer, said, "I'm not interested in that," and just ignored him. But let me tell you right now, he can never say that he never heard. And I pray that Mick Jagger will get saved. I pray that they'll be saved. I was thinking of Charlie Watts, the drummer. It's the first time they're going on tour. It's the first time he's missing the tour. It's since joining the Rolling Stones in 1963. He's 80 years old. It's his first time he's actually missing a concert. That's pretty good going, Muff, don't you think? I'm expecting that. 80 years old, boy. I'm expecting you up there still hitting those drums. If he can do it, you can do it. In fact, you're going to be 90 years old. Praise God. Well, we are continuing with our series on how to pray. And this is part number 5. And if you missed any of these, I really would encourage you to go back and watch the ones that you missed, because every week we've covered so much different ground, it's impossible to recap on everything. But Part number five, I want to talk about supercharged prayer. And say supercharged prayer. That's what we're talking about today, supercharged prayer. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And the God's Word translation says, use every kind of prayer and request there is. Praying with all prayer or praying with all kinds of prayer. And we found out there's different kinds of prayer. The New Living Translation says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. And the Passion Bible says, pray passionately in the Spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. Now, we said there's different kinds of prayer, and we've already discussed there's 10 different kinds of prayer we're talking about. We've spoken about the prayer of fellowship, and then we spoke about the prayer of worship and thanksgiving, and then the prayer of consecration, not my will, your will be done. The prayer of petition, that's how you pray when you're asking any request from the Lord. Then the prayer of committal, that's casting and giving all your worries and cares to God. Then the prayer of agreement, if any two shall agree about anything they ask, it shall be done for them. Then there's the prayer of binding and loosing, where you use authority, you take authority in prayer. You know, very often when in prayer, you've got to take authority over demonic spirits that are trying to harass you, and that's the prayer of binding and loosing. Today, we're going to talk about praying in the Spirit or praying in other tongues. And then there's the prayer of intercession and united prayer, which I'm going to finish up with next Sunday. But what is praying in the Spirit? The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit within me prays, but my mind is unproductive. The Bible says if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit is praying. My mind is not productive. You see, when you pray in the Spirit, the Bible also calls it praying in other tongues or unknown tongues. It's praying from your spirit by the help of the Holy Spirit in a language that is not known to your mind. When you pray in the Spirit, you do not understand what you're saying because it's not your mind praying. It's your spirit praying. You see, the real you is a spirit. That's the real you. You live in a body. This body is the house that you live inside. One day you're going to leave that body. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The real you is a spirit. And when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying from your spirit, not your mind, by the help of the Holy Spirit. And the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2, when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says because he's not speaking to people, but to God. He's speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit. The Bible says when I pray in the Spirit, or when I pray in tongues, I'm not speaking to people. No one understands what I'm saying. I'm speaking mysteries. I'm speaking secrets unto God from my spirit. You see, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, He enables you to pray in the supernatural way. We see this throughout the New Testament. From the time that the Holy Spirit was sent to the church in Acts chapter 2, Jesus had told the disciples to go wait in Jerusalem until they received the Holy Spirit who would empower them. And the Bible says in Acts 1 verse 4, once when He was eating with them, He commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift He promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And He said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, this took place in Acts chapter 2. Jesus said to them, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait until you receive the promise. You're going to receive power and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. So they're waiting around. And the Bible says in Acts 2 verse 1, on the day of Pentecost, when Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. And suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. And the roar of the wind was so overpowering that it was all anyone could hear. Then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each of them. Because Jesus said, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It says they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit, and they were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages that they had never learned. So they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they start speaking out in languages that they don't know. They don't know what they're saying. They're speaking and praying from their spirit by the help of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me so far? Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he put such great importance on being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. He said in 1 Corinthians 14, in verse 18, he said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than all of you. I speak in tongues more than all of you. And the Amplified Version says, I thank God I speak in strange tongues more than any of you or all of you put together. Evidently, Paul spent a lot of time praying in the spiritual language, praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. And he said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, I wish you all spoke with tongues. I feel the same way. If you do not speak and pray in other tongues, I wish and pray that today that you would receive the Holy Spirit and you go out of here, you'd be changed. You begin to pray from your spirit in this heavenly language. Because let me tell you, it is supercharged prayer when you pray like this. The first thing that Paul would ask new believers when he met them, in Acts 19, verse 1, it says, Paul traveled on through the regions of Turkey until he arrived in Ephesus, and he found a group of 12 followers of Jesus. He found 12 people. They were followers of Jesus. And the first thing he asked them was, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? No, they replied. We haven't even heard about the Holy Spirit. That tells me that you can be a believer, you can be a follower of Jesus, and not have received the Holy Spirit. Is that what it says? Am I making it up? So, you can be a follower of Jesus and never have heard of the Holy Spirit. And so it says in verse 6, when Paul laid his hands on each of the 12, the Holy Spirit manifested and they immediately spoke in tongues and prophesied. Why did Paul put such importance on speaking in other tongues, being filled with the Holy Spirit? Because he knew the power of it. The apostles Peter and John, they also understood how crucial it was for every Christian to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be able to pray out in this heavenly tongue. When a man named Philip, he went and had a revival in a city called Samaria, and the crowds of people were coming to Jesus because they saw these miracles. And when the apostles in Jerusalem heard what was happening, they sent Peter and John. What's the first thing Peter and John did when they got to the city? It says in Acts chapter 8, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard the people in Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. And as soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. I don't know how anybody can miss this. I mean, it's like you've got to be deaf, dumb, and blind to miss this. It is that clear. The first thing they did is prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means they had been baptized in water. That means they were believers. They were Christians. It says, then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. See, these people were believers. They'd been baptized in the name of Jesus, but they had not yet been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. The first thing the apostles do is send Peter and John to get them baptized in the Holy Spirit. So you can be a believer and yet not be filled with the Holy Spirit, but you need to be. Why did Paul and the early apostles put such importance on this? Because Jesus put such importance on this. That's where they got it from. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a subsequent experience to receiving Jesus into your life and being saved. Are you with me so far? In Acts 2, verse 38, the scripture says, Peter replied, repent and return to God, and each one of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus, the anointed one, to have your sins removed. Then, so repent, be baptized, then you may take hold of the gift of the Holy Spirit. For God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Say, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for me and for your families and for those yet to be born and for everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Now, if you're sitting here today or you're watching this today, let me tell you, God has called you to Himself. This is for you. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. Just like salvation is for everybody, just like being baptized in water is for everybody, so being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is for everybody. Every believer needs to be able to pray in tongues. And if you haven't experienced the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be filled today. You will receive the Holy Spirit. Today is your day. In Luke 11, verse 13, Jesus said, As bad as you are, you still know how to give good gifts to your children, but your heavenly Father is even more ready to give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks. Anyone who asks. I'm so thankful being able to pray in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, it's my go-to, man. Most of my prayer time is spent praying in the Spirit. If you don't pray in tongues, can I tell you, you are really missing out on what God has for you. I don't know how people survive. I don't know how they get by. Because the first thing that I do, man, anything that happens, I don't know how to pray. I begin praying in the Spirit. I begin praying in tongues. When Jill passed out nine days ago, and she passed out, and I had to call 911. I couldn't revive her. And she took her to the hospital. You know what I was doing? I was laying hands on her and praying in the Spirit. I was praying in tongues for her. I didn't know what else to do but to do that. Thank God she's good. She's healed. She has no more brain neurological problems than what she had before. I'm teasing. She's good. She's great. My point is that this is something that is like such a big part of my life, of praying in the Holy Spirit. I really don't know what I'd do without being able to pray in the Spirit. 80% of my prayer time is praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. And the reason for this is because I understand the value and the benefits that come from praying in the Spirit. I understand what happens. I understand the supernatural power of praying in the Spirit. You know, there is very little teaching about praying in tongues today. There are very few churches that are talking about this. It makes no difference to me who's talking about it and who isn't talking about it. If the Bible preaches about it and the Bible talks a lot about it, then yours truly, I'm going to preach about it. If the Bible talks about it and Jesus talked about it and the disciples talked about it, I'm going to talk about it. Amen. I have to. I cannot rob you of the knowledge, of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Number one, let me tell you why you need to pray in tongues, why you need to pray in the Spirit. Number one, praying in the Spirit enables you to pray God's will for your life even when you don't know what it is. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. What's our weaknesses? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That's one of our weaknesses. We don't always know how to pray. It says, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And it says, the Holy Spirit, the New Living Translation says, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And it goes on in verse 27, it says, now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That means when I pray in other tongues in the Spirit, it's my Spirit praying by the help of the Holy Spirit, by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. He's giving me the words to say, and He enables me to pray according to the will of God for my life, even when I don't know what it is. The New Living Bible says the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So when you don't know how to pray, when you pray in the Spirit, you can be guaranteed you are praying in harmony with God's will for your life. Amen? This is the number one way that I pray. This is how I pray for you. I say, Lord, I want to pray for Leo and for Carol. I don't know everything that's happening in their life, but Holy Spirit, you do. Help me to pray, Lord, your will to be done in their life. And I begin to pray in the Spirit for them. That's how I pray for my children. Every time I pray, Father, I say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray the will of God to be done in my life. Help me to pray the will of God to be done in the lives of my children. Help me to pray the will of God to be done in the lives of my grandchildren. And help me to pray the will of God to be done in the lives of everyone at Ascend Church. That's how I pray every time I pray. And I begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. I don't know everything that's going on in your life, but the Holy Spirit knows everything about you. And He enables me to pray the perfect will of God for your life. Are you with me? And verse 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. The New Living Translation says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good. Now, that's talking about when you don't know what to pray for. Then you begin to pray, the Holy Spirit, you begin to pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives you the words to say. You're praying the will of God. You're praying in harmony with God's will. And as you pray in the Spirit, God is able to cause everything to work out for your good. That's amazing. The Passion Bible says, I'm going to read it from the Passion. It says, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf. That's where I got the title. This is supercharged praying, man. This is supercharged praying. The Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. And it says, God, the searcher of the heart, knows fully our longings, yet He also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, His holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny. When I pray in the Spirit, in tongues, I know that I'm praying in perfect harmony with God's destiny, with God's plan, God's purpose for my life. So we are convinced that every detail of our lives is continually woven together for good, for we are His lovers who've been called to fulfill His design purpose. When I pray in the Spirit, I know that I'm praying in harmony with God's perfect will. And as I pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is able to cause everything to be woven together for my good. Can you say amen, somebody? When you pray in tongues, you're praying supernaturally. With the help of the Holy Spirit, it's supercharged prayer. You're praying in perfect harmony with God's will, God's plan, God's destiny for your life. Because you're not praying with your wisdom. You're praying with the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, even though you don't know what you're praying. And as you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit causes everything to work together for your good and bring everything in your life to fit into His plan and His destiny. All things work together for your good because God is able to go and arrange things in your future. He's able to arrange for you to meet the right people. He's able to orchestrate things for you. When you face a problem and you don't know the solution, you can say, Holy Spirit, I've got a problem. I don't know what to pray. I commit this to you. Help me to pray God's will so I make the right decision. Order my steps. Help me to pray your will to be done. In this situation, I begin to pray in the Spirit. Are you with me so far? Let me tell you, people who pray in tongues can expect all things to work together for your good. You can expect it. I mean, just with our selling our house and our condo, I've used this for the last 5 weeks. We prayed, we asked God to bring a buyer for our house, and we asked God to give us favor with the condo we wanted to buy, and we took authority over the enemy, we cast the care on the Lord, and what did I do after that? I just prayed in the Spirit over it. One of the things in the condo, they said, I can't park my motorcycle there. And I ain't giving up my motorcycle, man. Ride or die, that's my motto. And so I love my motorcycle, but I can't park it there. They don't let motorcycles. They've got prejudice against motorcycles. So I had to find off-site parking. I didn't want to be miles away. You know, I don't have to drive miles away. So there's a public storage just less than a mile from where we're moving on the US-1. And I went in there, and they've only got 8 spots, the outside parking, and they were all full. They've been full for years. And they're like, I don't think we're going to get anything come up. And what I do, I start praying, man. All things work for my good. All things come together for my good. This is how we live. We want to put our kids in school. They told us there's no place. All full. There were place for 3 and 1, no place for the 1. We just start claiming and praying and praying the Spirit. The next thing they call us back, we found a place for you. That's what happened with the public storage. I popped in there. They said, oh, by the way, one of our spots came open. Praise God. I took it, $60 a month. All things work together for those who pray in the Spirit. Let me tell you right, they all work together for good. Amen. The second reason why it's so important to pray in the Spirit is because praying in the Spirit supernaturally edifies you, charges you. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14 in verse 4, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves. And the New Living Bible says a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. And the Passion Bible says the one who speaks in tongues advances his own spiritual progress. And the Living Bible says a person who's speaking in tongues helps himself grow spiritually. Do you know that the more you pray in tongues, the more you grow, the more you strengthen, the more that you are edified when you pray in the Spirit? You are supernaturally edified and strengthened. You are filled with peace and joy. The word edify means to build up. You are built up. That's what I do. When I feel weak, man, when I feel discouraged, when I don't know what to do, I can't imagine not being able to pray in tongues, because that's what I do. I get down and I start praying in tongues because it builds you up like nothing else. In Jude verse 20, it says you constantly and progressively build yourselves up on the foundation of your most holy faith by praying every moment in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you are building yourself up. The Amplified Bible says you build yourselves up on your most holy faith. You make progress. You rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. The more you pray in the Spirit, let me tell you, the higher you rise, the stronger you get, the more you progress. Who is it that edifies and encourages you and builds you up? The Bible says that you do, because it says when you pray in the Spirit, you are edified. You can be as edified as you want to be. You can be as built up as you want to be, because the more you pray, the more built up, the more edified, the more strengthened you're going to be. In fact, Greek scholars tell us we have a word that is closer in meaning than the word edify, and that word is the word charge. Just like you charge a battery. Every night when I go to sleep, I plug my phone in next to my bed and I charge it up. So when I wake up in the morning, it's fully charged up. Well, let me tell you right now, when you pray in the Spirit, it's like being plugged into God's charger. You get charged up with the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. And let me tell you, every day we need to be recharged in our spirit. You are charged with the power of the Holy Spirit when you pray in that other tongue. The anointing, the presence of God comes into your heart. You begin to feel the peace of God, the rest comes over you. There's something that happens when you pray in the Spirit that you physically can feel. Every believer can speak in tongues to God. I cannot overestimate the benefits, the value of praying in the Spirit. I mean, is it possible that there are Christians who are losing some battles because they're not putting on the whole armor of God, because they're not building themselves up spiritually, because they're not allowing their spirit to pray? They're not allowing their spirit to pray with the wisdom and power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, praying in tongues is the doorway to the supernatural. You'll never enter into the supernatural realm without praying in tongues. The third reason why you should pray in tongues is because it refreshes you. praying in tongues refreshes you. Isaiah 28 verse 11, it says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.' But they would not hear." Yet they would not hear. It's amazing to me is that there are some people, they don't want to hear what I'm saying right now. There are some Christians that will switch me off. They don't want to hear it. What they need the most in their life, they don't want to hear it. Because I promise you right now, if you could live a successful, victorious Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus wouldn't have told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until you're empowered with the Holy Spirit. He knew how much you need it. What is the rest? What is the refreshing that Isaiah is talking about? He's talking about the new covenant, born-again believer, you and I, who will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will speak out in another tongue with stammering lips and another tongue. And he says, this is the rest. This is the refreshing. You see, you may come home after a hard day at the office and feel weary, but if you'll get alone and begin praying in the Spirit, you begin to feel rested. You begin to feel refreshed. You'll begin to feel strengthened. Are you with me? Thank you, Natalie. Acts 3 verse 19 says, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." You know, when you pray in tongues, it brings times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. You are refreshed. The dictionary says the word refresh means to impart fresh strength or energy, to reinvigorate, to revive, to make oneself fresher or more energetic by resting, walking, having food or drink. Sometimes you go to the doctor and he says, "Listen, all you need is to rest. All you need is to rest." I'm going to tell you, the best rest you can ever find in all the world is praying in tongues. You can take this rest cure every day. It's better than any vacation. Praying in the Spirit will supernaturally refresh and rest you more than anything else. In John chapter 7, Jesus said this. He shouted to the crowds, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. For the scriptures declare that rivers of living water shall flow from the innermost being of anyone who believes in me." He was speaking of the Holy Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet returned to his glory in heaven. Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit who would come in Acts chapter 2. And he spoke about him as a river of living water. That's how Jesus likened the Holy Spirit, to a river of living water. How many of you know water refreshes you? Water revives you. In these days of turmoil, insecurity, perplexity, you need this rest. You need this refreshing. And it comes by praying in the Spirit, by praying in tongues. Pastor Theo told me that when he went through his, Pastor Theo got divorced when he was just you know, when he Pastor Theo became a Christian 6 months after he got married. And his wife never wanted to serve the Lord. She never surrendered her life. And for 8 years, he stayed married to her, and she cheated on him time and time and time and time again, until eventually he said, "Look, I've got to move on. I know God's called me to the ministry," and he got divorced. But he said it was the most painful time in his life. It was the most difficult time in his life, and he was so overwhelmed. And he said, "Steve, I would just come home from work and I would just lay down on my bed and I would just pray in tongues." He said, "That's what got me through. That's what brought me peace. That's what brought me rest. I said, that's where my prayer life really began." There is a supernatural peace and a rest and a refreshing that is available, and it happens when you pray in the Spirit. Number four, when you pray in the Spirit, you fellowship with the Holy Spirit and you become sensitive to His guidance. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more you become sensitive to hear the Holy Spirit guiding you. In 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14, it says, "May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all." It speaks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We need to spend time fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, hanging out with Him, talking to Him, listening to Him, And when I pray in the Spirit, I'm not speaking to man. I'm speaking and fellowshipping directly with God. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, we looked at it earlier, when someone speaks in tongues, no one understands a word he says because he's not speaking to people, but to God. He's speaking intimate mysteries in the Spirit. See, when I pray in the Spirit, not only am I supernaturally praying God's will to be done in my life, but I'm also fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. And it makes me more sensitive to hear His voice and be able to receive guidance, be able to receive wisdom from Him. Are you listening to me, church? One of the greatest assets in my life has been a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's the one who guides me. John 16, verse 13, Jesus said, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." The New Living Bible says He'll tell you about the future. He'll tell you about the future. Is there a scripture that was wrong? The Holy Spirit has been sent to guide me, to speak to me, and to tell me things to come. The Holy Spirit will reveal the future to you. But this doesn't just happen. It happens when you spend time fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit and you spend time praying in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, in verse 9, it says, "This is what is meant by the Scriptures, which say that no mere man has ever seen or heard or even imagined what wonderful things God has ready for those who love the Lord." It says, but we know about these things because God sent His Spirit to tell us. And His Spirit searches out and shows us all of God's deepest secrets. No one can really know anyone else, what anyone else is thinking and what he is really like, except that person himself. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's Spirit. And God has actually given us His Spirit to tell us about the wonderful free gift of grace and the blessing that God has given us. It says, "I'm telling you about these gifts." Excuse me. "In telling you about these gifts, we have even used the very words given to us by the Holy Spirit, not words that we as men may choose. So we use the Holy Spirit's words to explain the Holy Spirit's facts. But the man who isn't a Christian can understand and can accept these thoughts from God, which the Holy Spirit teaches. They sound foolish to him because only those who have the Holy Spirit within them can understand what the Holy Spirit means. Others just can't take it in." You see, the reason why there's some Christians that have a real hard time understanding what I'm talking to you about today, the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, is because they're thinking with their natural mind and they're not spiritually minded. You've got to be spiritually minded to understand the things I'm talking. I pray you have revelation today, because I know some people, you start talking about praying in tongues, there's some Christians, they think you're crazy. There are some Christians like, you one of them? You one of them tongue-talking Christians? Are you nuts? No, I just happen to believe what the Bible says from cover to cover. I just believe it, and it's too late now because we cannot know God's plan. We cannot know the things God has in store for us unless we're in tune with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us down in our spirit. And if you spend time daily praying in the Spirit, you'll become sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you won't miss His guidance when He wants to guide you. You'll be sensitive to hear what He's saying. Are you with me? You won't make the wrong decision when opportunities are presented to you. When you spend time praying in the Spirit, it helps you to be sensitive to know and sense what the Holy Spirit, what God wants you to do. In fact, Kenneth Hagin, he said, "Praying in the Spirit is one of the greatest spiritual exercises that keeps your spirit keen and alert to God." Amen. It's the gateway into the supernatural. When I was 16 years old is when I received Jesus in my life. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. We never went to church. I mean, never, 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 never. We didn't go to church Easter time, Christmas time. Never, never, never. But when I was 16, God just did something in my family. My mother got saved, received the Lord. She took me to church, and I received Jesus in my life. And just shortly after that, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I started praying in this heavenly language, started praying in other tongues. It totally changed my life. At 16, 17 years old, my friends would come to visit me, and they'd say, Steve here. And my mom would say, yeah, he's praying. He's what? He's praying. I would be lying in our den. I'd lie on the floor, and I'd pray in tongues for 1 hour. And as I began to do that, I began to hear the Lord. God began to guide my life. Doors begin to open supernaturally. Things begin to happen that was supernatural. And let me tell you, it's been one journey of supernatural steps from the age of 16 to where I am now. It's been following God. And it all happened praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. Isn't that right? Number five, and I'll close with this. Praying in tongues, the reason why it's so important for you to do it, because praying in tongues puts you in a position to be used by the Holy Spirit to pray for other people. One of the greatest things about praying in the Spirit is it puts you in a position for the Holy Spirit to prompt you to pray for someone who needs prayer, maybe someone who's in danger, and the Holy Spirit prompts you, you need to pray for Pastor Jill. You don't even know. You don't even know why. you just feel stirred to pray for Pastor Jill, or maybe someone else. In 1983, I was 19 years old, and I was a connect group leader at Christian Family Church, Johannesburg, Pastor Theo's church. And every Thursday night, we had a meeting with all the connect group leaders. And one Thursday, we were all meeting together, and Pastor Theo, he was leading the meeting, and he stopped, and he said, everybody, can we just all pray in the Spirit together? He said, I just sense that somebody's life is in danger. I don't know who it is, but I have this real burden that I have this like sense of grief, like someone died. And he realized it was the Holy Spirit burdening him to pray because somebody's life was in danger. And so we all prayed in the Spirit. We prayed in tongues for about 10 minutes. And after about 10 minutes, Pastor Theo said he felt the joy of the Lord rise up in his heart. He felt that burden lift. And he said, praise God, I believe it's done. And he asked someone, what is the time? And it was 8:10 on Thursday evening. It was 10 minutes after 8. On Monday, he got a call from his personal assistant. Her name was Angelique. And she called to say she needed to get a ride to work. Because on Thursday evening, when we were at our leaders' meeting, she and her husband were driving in her little Renault car, and a huge truck ran a red light and T-boned them, hit them, and their car was so badly damaged that the fire department had to use the jaws of life to cut them out of the car. But they walked away without even a scratch. They didn't even have need a band-aid. They were completely protected. The firemen who rescued them said they had never seen anybody survive an accident like that. Pastor Theo said, what time did this accident occur? She said it happened at 8:30 p.m. on last Thursday night, 10 minutes before we prayed. What if Pastor Theo didn't recognize the Holy Spirit prompting him to pray? What if we hadn't prayed? Maybe she wouldn't have survived that accident. I want to encourage you, very often, some of you, the Holy Spirit has been trying to prompt you to pray and you haven't realized what it was. If you ever feel all of a sudden like a heaviness come on you, it's usually the Holy Spirit trying to tell you somebody needs you to pray. Are you with me? In 1989, I was working for Pastor Theo. I was on staff and I was an associate pastor. And every day before I went to the office, I would pray in tongues for 1 hour and read my Bible for half an hour, and then I would go to the office. On this one day, I was praying, getting ready to go to the office, and Jill told me she had to go into town and run some errands. She just got her first car. It was a used Toyota manual stick shift that we got, like a 1600. It was her first car, and she said, I've got to run some errands, and I said to her, I'm going to be finished praying pretty soon, then I'm going to go get ready, and I'll leave for the office. I'll see you later on today. So she took off, and when she left, all of a sudden, I was just about finishing my prayer time, but suddenly I had this burden come on me, and I felt like I needed to keep on praying. I felt like I've got to keep on praying. I didn't know why. And I continued to pray for another hour. So I prayed 2 hours in the Spirit instead of 1 hour until I felt peace in my heart. Then I left, and I went to drive to the office at church, And later on that day, I found out that Jill had nearly had a really bad car accident. She was on the freeway during lunch hour traffic, and there were road works taking place. And all of a sudden, all the traffic came to a stop, and this traffic was stopped in front of her. She slammed on her brakes and lost control of the car. The car started spinning, started doing donuts like this. She's doing donuts on the freeway. She goes over the median, separating the two lanes, you know, the two flows of traffic. She crosses onto the other freeway now with the traffic coming the other direction. And as she gets onto the other freeway, by some miracle, she didn't hit anything. She does, her car does this, lands up on the other freeway facing in the opposite direction. She looks in her mirror. She sees all the traffic coming down on, you know, coming down on her. She puts the car in second gear, takes off. She wasn't hurt. The car wasn't hurt. I believe I was praying for her. I believe that burden I had to pray was to pray for her. Who knows what could have happened? I can stand here all day and tell you stories where the Holy Spirit has led me to pray for our children, and God protected our children. How many times has the Holy Spirit tried to get us to pray, but we ignored it, or we didn't realize what the Holy Spirit was telling us to do? Then something happens, and we like, God, how could you let that happen? He was trying to get you to pray so that it wouldn't happen, but we didn't realize what it was. Let me tell you, when you step and you begin to pray in the Spirit and pray in tongues, you're going to step into a whole different realm. Merline, 2005, Merline was in our church, was a singer, and she woke up one morning, July 7th of 2005, and she had a tremendous burden to pray. She began to pray and pray. She felt like she's praying for her sister. Her sister was in London. Well, that next day, her sister overslept. And she missed her train. She used to take the train. She'd take the train to go to work. She overslept and she missed the train. That day, three terrorist bombs were placed in three trains throughout London. And they had 39 people were killed with these terrorist bombs. If she'd been on that train, she would have been killed. But Merline prayed and she overslept and she missed her train. Let me tell you, every Christian needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to every single Christian. As I close today, I want to talk to you. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, listen to me now. I'm going to tell you how to receive the Holy Spirit. This is for you. If you're watching this online, you can be filled with the Holy Spirit right where you are right now. Just listen to these eight things you need to do. Number one, understand that the Holy Spirit is a free gift from God. There is nothing you can do to work for Him, to earn Him, or to deserve Him. In Acts 2, verse 38, Peter said, each of you must turn from your sin, return to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you shall receive this gift, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift. You know, with a gift, you just got to receive. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is not just for some special people, but He is God's promise for all believers. Acts 2 verse 39, for God's promise is of the Holy Spirit is for you and for your family and for those yet to be born and everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself. So the Holy Spirit is God's gift to me. Number three, ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit and know that you will receive. Jesus said in Luke 11 verse 13, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks Him, to those who ask Him? Number four, you need to begin to speak out those new words or those strange sounds that coming up from your belly, from your spirit. The Bible says in Acts 2 verse 4, they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. The Holy Spirit will prompt you, but you're the one who does the speaking. You've got to open your mouth and speak those words out. You won't know what you're saying. It doesn't come out of your mind. It comes out of your spirit. The Holy Spirit prompted them. They did the speaking. Number five, don't let your mind get in the way. The Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19, do not quench, do not subdue, suppress or be unresponsive to the working and guidance of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we mustn't quench the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you, the enemy, the devil, will come and tell you that you're not speaking in tongues. you making it up. He'll tell you this is foolish, this is crazy, this is nuts. He'll do anything he can to talk you out of praying in the Spirit. Number six, breathe in deeply as an act of faith to receive the Holy Spirit in our midst. And number seven, as you breathe out, trust the Holy Spirit who is inside of you and begin speaking out whatever sounds seem easy to make. Now, if you're watching this from home, don't stop speaking till there's a free flow of words, and keep on praying in tongues every day. If you're watching this from home, you can do this right there where you are at home. Just lift your hands to the Lord right now. Say, thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit. I ask you, Father, to fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive you now, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Begin to speak out in that heavenly, speak out in that tongue. How many of you pray in tongues in here today? Wave your hand if you pray in tongues. Start praying in tongues right now, right in church, man. If you can't pray in tongues in church, where are you going to pray in tongues? Start praying in tongues right now. If you would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you say, Pastor Steve, I want to be able to pray in tongues. I want to be able to pray the perfect will of God in my life. I want you, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do what Apostle Paul did. I've literally prayed for thousands of people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can receive today. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, just stand up right where you are right now. Just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. There you go. There you go. Just stand to your feet. Be bold. Stand to your feet. I'm ready. I want to receive. Just stand up right now. Hold your hands up like this. Say, Father, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, whom you have sent to be my helper, to empower me. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of your Holy Spirit. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Say, I receive you, Holy Spirit. I surrender to you. Say this, say, Holy Spirit, thank you for prompting me, for enabling me to speak out in that unknown tongue, to pray out in that heavenly language, in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray right now. Everybody, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you pray in tongues, start praying right now. If you're standing for prayer, just begin to speak those words coming out of your belly. Come on, church, let me hear you pray. Let me hear you pray in the Holy Ghost today. Pray out in that heavenly tongue. Kierebenda babara bobore bebebebe ribibibi erebebebebenda ba erebebebe rebe kitara ba rebebe rebe ki erebebebe rababara buraba erebebebe rebe ki erebebore bebebebe ribibibi erebora baraba. There you go. Kierebebe. Don't speak anything else. Don't speak English. Don't speak Spanish. Let just speak those words coming out of your belly right now. No sounds. Ikibisi karam de bebebe da babara bore bebebebe rebeki araba. Erebebe rebeki erebere bore bebe rebeki tarabara bo. Erebebe rebeki erebere be. Come on, church. Come on. Erebesi erebe da babar. Erebiki erebo da barabande bende benda banda bo. E bende benda barra bo re benda banda bo e benda bande berri bi e re benda barra bo e bera barra bo re berri bi e re benda banda bo re bera barra bo re bebe benda. Hallelujah. Listen, if you stood up this morning and you still would like some prayer, I'm going to ask for our prayer partners at the end of the service to be here. I'm going to ask for Tom and people who help, our prayer partners, come and stand at the end of the service. If you still would like prayer, come, they'll pray for you. They'll lay hands on you. But I believe right now that everyone has received the Holy Spirit, even if you're watching this online. Just keep on praying. The more you pray, you know, when I first was filled with the Holy Spirit and I first started speaking in tongues, I didn't pray quite as confidently and quite as comfortably as I do right now. I was very shy in those days. I mean, goodness me, you would never have got me up on a stage speaking in front of people. I was shy. And I just had a couple of words, really. And Pastor Theo prayed for me, and he said, Steve, just keep on praying those words. Just keep on praying those words. Don't give up. And the devil would tell me, you're making it up. You look like a fool. I'd say, shut up, devil. And I'd lay in my bed, and I'd pray my couple of words. And all of a sudden, one night, I'm praying my couple of words, and boom, it's like you open the faucet, and these words just came flying out of me, and I just started praying, and I've been praying ever since, man. And let me tell you right now, the great thing about praying in tongues, you can pray in tongues anytime, man. You can be driving down the road and pray in tongues. You can be playing golf and pray in tongues. I've been with Pastor Theo walking around Disney World, walking in a Magic Kingdom. We're walking in a Magic Kingdom. He's like, Steve, why don't we pray in tongues about half an hour? And so we'll quietly. We don't pray. We don't go walking around Disney World. No, no, no. Real quiet. No one can hear us. Just under our breath. We just walk around half an hour. Just pray half an hour walking around Disney World. And then, hey, okay, now let's talk. You can pray in tongues anywhere, really, because your mind's not involved. It's coming from your spirit. Amen. Did you get something out of this today? I want you to bow your head for a moment. Come closer, Jill. I want you to bow your head for a moment, please. While your head is bowed, I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes, if you would. We never close the service without giving people the opportunity to just make sure that all is right, that all is well between you and God today. Listen, if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure? Can you say you know without any doubt that you would go to heaven? You're sure about it? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, I hope if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, are you sure if you died today, you know that you would go to heaven? You have no doubt. Because let me tell you, the good news is you can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well between you and the Lord. You can know that every mistake, every sin you ever committed, it's been washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is real. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But right where you sit, if you say, Pastor Steve, please pray for me. Include me in that prayer. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I want to know that all is right, all is well between me and the Lord. Pray for me. If that's you, if you want to be included in this prayer I'm about to pray, won't you just quickly lift your hand up? Just slip your hand up high. If you say, yes, pray for me, Pastor Steve, lift your hand up now. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included in this prayer. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see hands being raised. I want everyone who lifted your hand, please say this prayer with me. The scripture says in Romans 10 and verse 9, that if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God. So say this prayer with me now. Everybody say this prayer. Say, dear God, everybody, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to come to this earth, to take my sin, to take my punishment, to die in my place. Lord, I believe, Jesus, you are alive. You've been raised from the dead. And I confess, Jesus, you are Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you today. From today, I'm going to live for you, Lord. You are Lord of my life. Say this. Say, I thank you that I am now saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I am your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. If you raised your hand, we have a gift we want to give you before we close today. If you would just remain in your seat, one of our volunteers is going to come over and give you a gift. We're so glad you were here today. Amen. I want to say thank you to all of our givers. I want to say thank you to all of you here present for your faithful giving. Everyone who's watching this, thank you for your faithful giving. we sure do appreciate that. You have a word to share this morning?
I'm going to just read a couple of scriptures from Deuteronomy 28. It says this. It says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the world. You will experience these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and your flocks will be blessed. So that now it goes on. There's a whole lot more. And I hope you got this little handout. There were two handouts today. One was the message. And the other one, I just put together a confession, a financial confession from Deuteronomy 28, because there's a lot of blessings that are contained in that passage. And you know, everything in God's kingdom works this way. When we follow God's way of doing things, there are blessings that come along with it. It's not like sometimes we think we've got to beg God to do something. Please, God, will you do that? We're trying to convince him. The Bible says that when we follow his way of doing things, the blessings are attached, right? He says, when you obey the Lord, when you follow me, these things will come upon you. Your houses will be blessed. Your lands will be blessed. Your family. So all of those things are attached. The blessings are attached. And I was reminded this week that it's really simple. So when it comes to finances, right now we're going to receive the offering. And there are envelopes in the seats where you're sitting. You can go ahead. There's various ways to give. It comes up there. If you're watching online, you can go ahead, ascendchurch.us. You click give. And it's a very simple way to do it. We really appreciate it. I notice that more and more people are doing reoccurring giving, which is an absolute blessing, especially over these summer months. Sometimes people are away, but they continue to give. So thank you for doing that. But I've been reminded this week, when it comes to any area, whether it's your health or your finances or your family or your marriage, whatever it is, the way to get the blessings of God is to get the word of God, first of all, in your ears, in your eyes, in your mouth, and then start believing and expecting that God will do what he said. So that's why I share a scripture, share what the word of God says about it. He says, when you follow me and you do what I say, he says, tithe, when you bring the tithe into the storehouse, then I'll open the windows of heaven above you. There's a command and a blessing attached to it. So when I hear that, when I begin to speak that, when I begin to expect that, then that's what I see come to pass in my life. Amen? So go ahead and prepare yourself. I want to tell you what happened to one of the ladies who used to be in our church, Michelle Yoke, and she moved away, and she watches online. And last week when I was receiving the offering, I said, Nadine, our daughter, who usually sits on the front row, she's in kids' church today, she started tithing what she wanted to earn. So say her tithe was $200. She decided she wanted to be in a position to tithe $300. She wanted to earn more, so she began to tithe in faith. So I told that story last week, and Nadine suddenly got put in, after 3 years of being a nurse, she was jumped up into a managerial position and got years ahead and was earning exactly what she had begun tithing on. So I told that story last week. So Michelle Yoke was watching it, and she had felt prompted of the Lord to give over and above, to tithe in faith a certain number. She said she had this number come to her beyond what her tithe was. And so she tithed it last Sunday online. And she said on Tuesday, her husband received an increase for that exact amount of what she tithed on Sunday. I mean, come on. Come on. If that was you, you'd clap, right? So anyway, so we're going to go ahead and give. I always want you to, whatever we do it with faith in the Word of God. Amen? So when we tithe, we do it, yes, to be obedient, but we do it with expectancy that God's going to do what he promised. Amen? So, Father, we thank you for each and every family, man, woman, child. You know their position financially. You know, Father, there are people that are facing financial needs. There are people that are facing needs in their business, that people are facing a need. They need clients, customers, new business, a new job, an increase, whatever it is, Father God. We thank you that as we obey you, that there is a blessing that comes upon us, a blessing upon each household, upon their business, upon their finances, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Don't forget, this Thursday we have our night of prayer and worship at 7 p.m. right here. We want to say thank you to all of our volunteers who served today, all of our servant leaders who served in the children's ministry and the media ministry and the usher ministry and the singers and musicians and those who came to pray. Won't you give them a big round of applause? We do appreciate everyone who serves in God's house. Where is he here? Come on, Peyton. When are you going to? Come on, come up here. We're going to pray for Peyton. He's going into the military. He's going into the army. He's a pilot. And he just feels stirred in his heart to go into the army. And we're trusting you'll fly Black Hawks, right? So I want you, won't you pray with us over him for his protection? Father, we thank you for Peyton, Lord. We thank you that you are with him. We thank you for your angels that protect him. We thank you that everywhere he goes, Lord, that you take care of him, that no harm comes to him, that your angels are camped about him, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for giving him favor. We thank you, Lord, that he is a blessing. We thank you for opening doors for him, giving him favor with everyone he comes into contact with, guiding his footsteps, directing his path, Lord. We commit him into your care. Thank you, Lord, for protecting Peyton in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen, amen. Praise God. Keep on praying for Peyton while he's... Come on, stand up with us right now. We praise you.
We see you break down every wall. We watch the giant.